Well, I'm kind of out of practice, but I depend and have depended for the last 20-some years as I have done this on your grace, and I pray that, I know that you'll remember the children's sermon, but it's part of the overall sermon, so you won't have totally lost everything. You know, we live in a troublesome time, and I don't think there's any of our scripture that probably wasn't written in troublesome times as well. They're told by people who are living in different times with different troubles, but still, all the same, troublesome. People facing and living through those struggles. And as we wrap up 1 year, you know, the calendar is our making because we just can't handle something that doesn't have some parentheses on it, boundaries on it. And so the calendar was created as we find out that things repeat themselves every once in a while. And it does, though, provide us an opportunity to do that looking back at the year prior and maybe even planning a little bit for the year ahead. One of the features of our age is that the events and challenges that are based mostly on change just seem to keep coming at us a bit faster. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the faster time flies. Just seems like it was yesterday that we were here on one service, and yet, you know, Christmas has occurred. The kids were waiting. It probably Christmas Eve seemed like about 3 weeks to them, and it did to us when we were that age. But things do happen a little faster these days. Some of the challenges that we live amongst are that their challenges are more rapid than for people ages past. And some of the things that we have to do to live in our world requires us maybe to keep a few more balls in the air than we did in the past. We have to maybe have a broader depth of experience and knowledge just to cope, even to cook our eggs. But it is important to be with a company of more people sharing our lives. It's challenging. There's a few more billion people on the planet than there was when our scriptures were written. And there's probably going to be a few more before some of us die. We connect with one another in many different ways. Sometimes it's a blessing and sometimes it's a curse. But it can... I don't know, I wouldn't know about half of my grandchildren and what they were doing if it wasn't for social media. But we also know the challenges of identities being taken and words being spoken that can't be taken away. One of those unseen things that kind of like the magnetism that drives a motor, some of those unseen things are the words that are spoken. The power of those words can hurt or they can bless. So social media blesses us in some ways and challenges us in others. With all the social media, sometimes we're lonelier than ever, although we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. In the midst of this loneliness, I want to remind you that as you go into the new year, you don't go in alone. That you go in the midst of God's presence. I depend very heavily for my knowledge on my visual sense, and I'm sure most of us in this room depend upon our visual sense to experience the world around us, to learn and to guide. But if we've spent much time with God's message to us, we come to realize that maybe the unseen, that which we cannot see, is sometimes more real than that which we can see. Definitely God's power, the power of love, I have experienced, although unseen, can turn lives around completely, create new people. The little visual aid that I used this morning comes from one of my gifts or curses, I don't know which it is, that I fix things. And that little pump came out of a dishwasher. Changing the pump was a piece of cake. Getting the dishwasher out was really the challenge. And don't talk to my wife about it because she's got a terrible story to tell. In 1980, I became acquainted with a marvelous preacher by the name of R. Maurice Boyd. He's Irish by birth, and he served large churches in Canada and in New York City. And I heard one of his sermons and have read it in one of his books. The Believing and Seeing is the title of his sermon. In the sermon, he challenges the wisdom of the old saying, seeing is believing. In other words, some of us would say that if I can't see it, I don't believe that it exists. But if this is your credo, then our faith really isn't faith. It is a knowledge and an assurance. We know that from the 11th chapter of Hebrews that faith is the assurance of things hoped for in the conviction of things unseen. But our knowledge and our hope and our blessings is not based upon what we see. It's based upon a different kind of vision. Maybe insight is a better word. But vision is important. Not just the seeing part, but the part of us that allows us to see things that aren't there yet. You know, if we believe that in the assurance of our sight and knowledge, that there really is little room for faith, for a vision of something more in store. If we know, however, that in the composition of music and the writing of verse and in the painting of a picture on a canvas, that there is really no evidence to see or to hear until it is created. Only the composer or the artist or the writer sees it. And some famous writers have said that, you know, if there's no surprise in the writing of a story, then there's no surprise for the reader either. Most great artists take us on a journey, either through their picture or through the words that they write or the music that they compose. They create a vision for us. Not something in sight necessarily, but something with insight. Beginning a new business also is one of those things that requires insight. If any of you are entrepreneurs out there, you know that there's no sure thing. You do all the work, but you begin with a vision. You begin with some calling to begin the endeavor, much as those of us who have entered the ministry. We begin with a calling, and most of the time it's a pretty scary calling. There is also an assurance, a vision. But beginning a business is a faith enterprise. There are generally few assurances that success will result. And if you're borrowing money to do so, you will have to have quite a bit of collateral for the lender unless you can convince them to catch the vision as well. In most cases today, they won't lend you any money unless you don't need it. Science is really no different. Someone asks a question, a theory is proposed, and then a search is on to determine if the theory is true. theory is proposed and pursued as an act of vision and faith, and if there is an answer to be found, and many times the answer is different than what we seek, but still revealing. We live in an age where there is much that we enjoy is founded not on what is visible to us, but what is invisible, like the electricity in our wires and like the airwaves that carry radio and music and our satellite and all of those unseen things that give us benefit to allow you to speak the words and turn on your lights. That's kind of crazy, isn't it? Clap your hands, turn them off. What's going on there? That all began by someone asking, can we do it? What does it take? You know, I've never seen an atom or the particles that we're told make up that atom, but I have seen the models that were created to show us maybe how they are represented, and the models that I had when I was a kid today are not accurate. They have changed. The models have changed because they continued to seek and to vision what is going on in that unseen world of those tiny particles. And we, in the last decades, have begun to see close-ups of some of our planets and other bodies in our solar system. That work in astronomy begins by twinkle, twinkle, little star. How I wonder what you are. It's in that vision, that questioning of that idea that we can't see or understand. And some of those questions were asked and theories made and some serious math was done. Materials science, and much, much, much more. We dream and we study, but it is the dream and the vision which are the foundation of our endeavors. We vision traveling to the moon, and now Mars, and in some ways we have already seen it. There's a passage in Proverbs chapter 29. It's quoted in many, many, many different ways, and some ways seem troublesome, but in the Message, this is what it says: if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what He reveals, they are most blessed. It's kind of hard to see God's grace. We don't see it come down like rain, but we also know that rain is God's grace upon us. Those of us who live in the desert. But it's in that sense of grace in the many ways that we are blessed. All of this I am saying to you is to remind you, this isn't something new. All of you who are here know this. That as we enter this new year, there is an unseen presence with you, with us. That unseen presence is the Holy Spirit God has given us. We heard from John that Jesus said He was sending a comforter, an advocate, the Holy Spirit, to be with us. But even before that, God's presence was over the waters at the time of creation. God's presence has always been here. I want to tell you a story that was told by Dr. Boyd, who heard it from Dr. Leslie Weatherhead, and it's about a lay preacher in England, Hugh Redwood. And Hugh Redwood preached all over England and was heard by thousands of people. One evening he was in preparing for one of these preaching engagements, and he was at a friend's house for dinner. He had dinner, and the hostess invited Hugh to go up to the study. There was a fire in the fireplace, and it would just be a time of quiet as Hugh prepared for his message that evening. And as he went up and he sat and found it as it was told, he sat in the chair, and right next to the chair was a Bible open. The Bible was open to Psalm 59. And as he looked at that passage, he read this: "The God of my mercy shall prevent me." Well, this was the King James Version. And in the King James Version, the word prevent meant to go before. That meaning has changed. Now when we say the word prevent, it means to prohibit or to bar. And so really what the Bible meant, the God of my mercy shall go before me. But somebody had written another interpretation of that verse in the margins of the scripture. And it was that writing that changed Hugh Redwood. And in the midst of the challenges that he was facing, it gave him new life and new peace to travel forward. And this is what was written by an anonymous hand: "My God, in his loving kindness, shall meet me at every corner." Every corner that you attend in this coming year, know that God is already there. God's already working out whatever it is that you're facing. God's presence is in the midst of that. Even in the midst of our troublesome time, God's presence and God's grace is there before us. Yes, in some way, when we walk into a room, we bring God's presence, a piece of God's presence, in with us. And when we leave, it leaves with us, but in no way does all of God's presence dwell just with us. God's presence is already out there, even with those that you're going to go and share God's story and Jesus' story with them. So as you move from this place, be reminded, the God of your mercy, the God of your loving kindness, will meet you at every corner. Thanks be to God. Amen.